Radio Free Press, a podcast from the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, campaigning for free, independent and accountable media.
The Italian general election has brought into sharp focus the significance of the first European Citizens Initiative, aimed at attracting 1 million signatures in favour of European-wide media reform. Silvio Berlusconi's orchestration of television coverage of the Italian election campaign has only served to strengthen the determination of Italian journalists and reformers to try to force European intervention so as to limit the concentration of Berlusconi's media ownership. Now, here to discuss the importance of the European Citizens Initiative on press freedom and also the impact it might have here in the United Kingdom are the Italian journalist Tana Zulueto and two members of the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom, who've been closely involved in the initiative. First, Tana, could I turn to you? Now, this European initiative was only launched at the beginning of this month. How important do you think it will be, bearing in mind the fact that the Italian elections have been taking place?
Well, it's extraordinary that this election has been permitted in a situation of, as Freedom House would have put it, semi-free press. And we have one of Europe's, perhaps one of the world's most concentrated media markets, with, apart from a TV monopolist, commercial television monopolist having held political office, Silvio Berlusconi, the same man actually has a 40% share of the advertising market. And the effect has been extraordinary on the way this campaign is being covered.
Describe the sort of manipulation or orchestration then that the Italian voter would have to undergo and would have to see, and how this relates to media ownership.
Well, the Italian voter would have to studiously ignore what he is being submitted to, I should say, deluged with. Mr. Berlusconi has muscled his way into practically every available television and radio program. And what is most extraordinary from the listener's point of view is that he just fires off. He talks and he is never contested. He is never questioned. He is never held to book. Now, that's what happens when a media magnate goes into politics, because half of the people who work there are on the payroll and the other half think they might be.
So you would say, would you, that Italy presents a classic illustration of the need for this European initiative. And you, of course, are the coordinator of the campaign in Italy.
That's right. I was a member of parliament after being a journalist, and in that capacity tried to push for media reform and found the political will was lacking, but found strong civil society backing. We collected 50,000 signatures for legislation to reform broadcasting in Italy, to break the monopoly and to loosen the political control over public service broadcasting, which is another issue which the Citizens Initiative is going to address. We are campaigning for Europe-wide laws that are going to address the problem of media concentration, of relevant market concentration, therefore advertising, but also to guarantee the independence of regulators. That's something that we sorely need in Italy, because it's a system of political patronage which has allocated the jobs in those sensitive positions, and it's had devastating effects on the independence of public service broadcasting.
Now, let's turn to the possible impact of the European Citizens Initiative in the United Kingdom. Granville Williams, you're a long-standing member of the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom. You're the coordinator of this initiative here in the UK. What sort of impact do you think your initiative could have, and how are you going to be able to learn on the experience that we've just been hearing of what's been happening in Italy?
Well, I think there are two points. First of all, whilst Rupert Murdoch is not Berlusconi in the sense that he doesn't exercise direct political power, he hasn't been elected. By the way, Berlusconi is the longest serving Italian prime minister since the war. Now, that's another example of how media power buttressed political power, it seems to me. But Rupert Murdoch in this country has exerted indirectly enormous political power. we've only got to think back to the Blair government, when a number of pieces of legislation had clauses inserted specifically to pacify, to assuage Rupert Murdoch's ire and to keep him on board. And of course, the direct lesson that we have is around Murdoch's attempt to combine his 35% share of the UK newspaper market with B Sky B. And we were only came within a hair's breadth of that succeeding. It was only in the last, literally in the last hour or two before the deal was going through, that the phone hacking scandal blew the whole thing up. But no. He could come back to it. Rupert Murdoch, there is no reason why Rupert Murdoch couldn't come back in another 2 months' time and say, I'm going to take B Sky B over now.
Now, before I go back to Tana to discuss some of the implications of how other European countries could back this initiative, let's just deal with some of the nuts and bolts. Just explain the initiative, what's going on, what it's aiming to achieve.
Right. Well, it really began almost at the same time as the B Sky B. When Rupert Murdoch's son, James Murdoch, announced that he wanted to take over B Sky B, he didn't go to the UK. He went to the European Commission and said, we want to take over B Sky B. And the European Commission said, not a problem, take it over. So we need to get rules at a European level that limit media ownership in particular markets. So that's the important demand that we want to get first.
And how is the campaign actually going to work? How is this initiative going to then connect? I said in my introduction, you're hoping to get a million signatures. Yeah. How are you hoping to do this across Europe?
Good. Right. There are 9 countries signed up, organisations in 9 countries, from Bulgaria to Belgium, Portugal, France, Italy, UK. All of those have got a clear target to get. In the UK, I think we should try and aim for at least 150,000, 200,000 signatures. And that is the job that we have to do. The 9 countries so far, the only ones signed up, but I think there's a chance that other countries will come on board as the initiative gathers speed. Remember, the petition only opened on the 7th of February. In the last day, I'm pleased to announce, in the UK, the media union BEC2 has become a partner, along with the National Union of Journalists. And there are a number of other unions, a number of other organisations we'll be approaching. We're having a big launch in the Houses of Parliament on the 21st of March, and that will be linked in with publicity. We're going to try and link up with online activist organisations like Avaaz, 38 Degrees and so on. So we've got a big job. We've spent 2.5 years getting this far. Now the million signatures is what we've got to aim for.
Well, let's just go and ask Tana Zulueta. Are you encouraged by what you hear about what's been happening here in the United Kingdom, bearing in mind that you're in the firing line at the moment with the Italian elections?
Well, we're most encouraged, and we're encouraged at the idea of a mobilisation, but also aware of the enormous risks that the fact that Murdoch, as it was, we were reminded, very nearly did get his hands on B Sky B, and there is, as the legislation stands, both in Europe and the UK, no actual obstacle to his repeating this, were it not for his inappropriate behaviour. I mean, he was undone by his own hands. It was only because of sheer overreaching ambition. They were so used to the idea of impunity that they overstepped the mark grossly, that they were caught out. They were not caught out by whistleblowers. They were not caught out by members of parliament challenging the legitimacy of their claim. They undid themselves. And we can't allow that kind of risk to be run again in Europe, because this tendency to market concentration and the political interference that comes with it is something which is catching on right across the continent. The French organization, Reporters Sans Frontières, has signed up to this campaign because this is an organization that's been fighting for media freedom worldwide for decades now with great efficacy, because though they, even in their own country, there have been serious issues about media independence, you know, and direct political interference in the appointment of the head of the public service broadcasting service. Even Spain has now signed up. At least they've actually had an event to launch the campaign without yet being former members of it in Seville University. because civil society across the continent is aware that at a time of economic difficulties, civil liberties are also being eroded. And a free press is doubly important at this time.
Now, let me turn to Tim Gopsill from the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom. You were editor, of course, of the journalists, National Union of Journalists paper, The Journalist, and you're editor of Free Press. How encouraged are you by the fact that this campaign is now going on, bearing in mind, of course, that we here in Britain did have an opportunity, didn't we, a possible opportunity to tackle media ownership through the Leveson inquiry, but although it was the elephant in the room, it was never really tackled.
It's a sign of both how important it is and how difficult it is that one of the main questions that the Leveson inquiry was supposed to consider was media power itself. In fact, it only considered the symptoms and recommended ways of sorting out the symptoms by putting some slightly better regulation onto newspapers. But the real issue, the real core of the problem is media power through monopoly media ownership. And many people feel that that question was ducked by Leveson. Leveson ducked the question. He didn't say there should be limits on media ownership. The government, when we asked them about it while Leveson was on, said, leave it to Leveson. Leveson says, leave it to the government. So that means we've got to have a campaign. Otherwise, nothing will be really improved. Big media will be as strong as ever, whatever kind of regulation there is under the press. Under the new regulation of newspapers. So we've really got to, this has got to succeed, because this is the only way now that we can sort out media ownership in Britain.
We've had, of course, and we've heard so clearly the ability of Berlusconi to manipulate and orchestrate coverage of the Italian elections. We, of course, here in Britain know only too well that Rupert Murdoch was perhaps the, or has been the most promiscuous of all the newspaper barons, in the sense, you remember, that he backed Margaret Thatcher, dumped John Major, switched to Tony Blair, abandoned Gordon Brown, then fell in behind David Cameron. So the journalists of Britain know, don't we, only too well of the power of media magnates, not only in newspapers, but obviously in the Italian experience of television.
Journalists do know that, but sadly, many journalists just go along with it and say, well, I do my job reporting what I'm told to do. I mean, this is one of the very big problems, is not just, I'm sure, in Britain, but everywhere in the world, that journalists, the journalist's role of doing their job and trying to change things at the same time is a difficult one. But we're not just talking about Murdoch. There are other big media groups that have not as much, but a lot of media influence. For example, the Daily Mail Group, which owns the biggest chain of provincial newspapers. For example, in London, they've just announced the launch of a new local news television channel, which has gone to a company called ESTV. ES stands for Evening Standard. It's the same company that owns the only evening newspaper in Britain. Now, this is the kind of overlap of cross-ownership that we think should be limited. It's not just Murdoch, but all the big companies, newspaper companies, must continue to be prevented from owning television and radio stations, for instance. So that's what plurality is. Plurality means a lot of different media owners putting different viewpoints to the public so that they can decide. And by the way, one other thing about Italy, of course, Murdoch is a big media owner in Italy as well. Yeah. He has Sky Italia, which is about the only serious rival to Berlusconi's private and state-controlled channel. What kind of choice is that for the Italians?
Well, look, let's ask both Granville and Tana to give their indication of what they think would be the sort of blueprint for the future. Granville Williams, I'll start with you. I mean, we know that the Labour Party, for example, has been suggesting that perhaps 15% is the cut-off point for the level of media ownership. And then, as Tim Gopsill has just been talking about, there's a question of cross-media ownership. What would you say would be the sort of blueprint that should come out of this initiative, this European initiative?
Well, I think the lessons we had from all of the evidence we gave to Leveson, where we did think about these issues very carefully, is you do need limits of around 15% of specific media markets in order to encourage diversity of media ownership. But these debates, it seems to me, are further down the road, once we've got the million signatures, we then can begin to talk to the European Commission about the policy initiatives. But certainly, clear limits on media ownership, the separation of political influence is so important from regulatory bodies. If we don't have that, the other issues fall apart as well. So there are at least two or three clear policy issues I think we can go forward on. But for the moment, the four policy demands of the European Initiative on Media Pluralism, which people can look on our website, they're the ones that we want to try and mobilise support around at the moment.
Tana Zulueto, if I could come back to you. You, of course, have experience not only of the British media scene. You were a correspondent for The Economist and The Sunday Times. You've also got extensive experience in Italy. Would Italy like to come up with a sort of blueprint of the kind that Granville Williams has been suggesting? Or do you think, for example, there should be a European-wide sort of blueprint? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, we're in an election campaign, and the... I belong to an organisation called Article 21, which supports the initiative. And Article 21 is the article of our constitution which guarantees freedom of expression and free speech. And we held a public meeting with candidates in the election and found and obtained some very precise commitments on the part of the leaders of a number of important parties to sign up to the problem of conflict of interest, which in our country is not regulated by law, so that a media baron can actually hold political office. Now, that's one of the issues that's addressed in the Europe-wide Media Initiative. I think that it's very important that we give ourselves Europe-wide benchmarks, because these are Europe-wide operators. We were just reminded that Murdoch is not only an important, hugely important figure in this country, he is also in the United States, but he's also in Italy.
And Germany.
In Italy, he is a monopolist on satellite television. He is the sole operator. You understand what kind of power that gives him in terms of technological changes. He's now going to be allowed to, as we say in Italy, come down to the ground as well. So this is a redoubtable new entry, and also a man who is born to get on with Berlusconi, were it not that they're rivals. And they have in the past been complicit, you might say. So this is the sort of situation that we have to address, both nationally and Europe-wide. I know it's difficult for the UK public to bear in mind how important these overarching international rules are. I don't think one can stand without the other. We were reminded that Murdoch actually got the green light from the European Commission before the British government had given the say-so to his proposal to take over Sky B. And the European Commission has been very reluctant to address this issue. 18 years ago, European Parliament specifically asked for Europe-wide regulation that would guarantee something Europeans believe in, the single market. That doesn't exist in the media. Now it will. That's what we've got to ensure, that this blind spot in European legislation is not allowed to continue, because it is to the detriment of quality of democracy in the continent.
So you would say, would you, that that ultimate goal must be that national governments must relinquish some of their power over media empires, and that this shouldn't just be left to the decision of national governments. There must be some European influence and coordination. Is that the sort of central objective of the campaign?
I think it's important, if we want to obtain our national legislation, and we desperately want it, we have to recognise that nothing could help us more than Europe-wide laws. In some countries like Hungary, without that, they're not going to get it. But we've also got to bear in mind that we're talking about people, companies that are operating on a transnational scale. So one law isn't going to stand up. It's not going to protect us. It's not going to work nationally if it doesn't. The same law isn't reflected in European legislation.
Granville Williams, on that point of how far Europe should be allowed and I'm now using this sort of words that one would expect from the Free Speech Network, that campaign by the newspaper proprietors to prevent government legislation. Of course, they are very, very active in trying to prevent any European interference in the British media marketplace.
Yeah, there are two points. This European initiative on media pluralism, we're not addressing the particular issue of the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press to put its point of view forward. And so that's something that, of course, in terms of the UK context, post-Leveson, there's been a lot of attack about that idea of some kind of really backstop power for regulation of the press. We're talking about Europe-wide broad rules that would apply to each country in terms of the general framework of media ownership, media regulation, clear separation of political power from media interests. These issues, I think, resonate with people. I think these are issues that people in Hungary would recognise as important. And by the way, people in the UK do. Most of the polls that we're looking at suggest that people are seriously concerned at the way in which politicians run scared of trying to control the power of these big media groups.
Well, finally, Granville Williams, I'll go round the three of you. Are you encouraged? Are you hopeful that somehow an initiative like this, a citizens' initiative, could actually influence not only the individual governments, but also the European Union and the European Parliament?
It's the best game in town. Tanya mentioned years ago the initiative to try and get a green paper on media ownership. This is the first time since then we've had a chance. So I'm very optimistic that we can mobilise across Europe. And that was news to me what Tanya told me just now about Spain coming on board. I think we will get on a roll with this. I think people say, yes, let's sign up to this. And that's my message, you know, to anybody listening to the podcast. Get the word out. Get people signed up and we can do it.
We'll give Tana the final word. Tim Gopsall, have you been encouraged? Do you think this sort of campaign can take off? I mean, we in Britain have seen many, many campaigns over the years on this whole question of media ownership. Do you think this one has got wings?
I'm hopeful, partly because of the new ways of campaigning that there are. Some groups that are involved with the campaign include Avaaz and 38 Degrees, who are the new online petition sites, who are very active. They got very active and became involved in media issues over the attempted takeover of BSkyB when 38 Degrees got 150,000 signatures that were presented to the government. People call it clicktivism or slacktivism, in that all you have to do is click your mouse. But the fact is that lots of people, for lots of people, that's the only way they can get their views across. And they are going to do it over this. We're very confident we're going to get a very large number of signatures that way. There's one more point, though, that I think needs to be emphasised. And that is what media plurality means. It doesn't just mean in general, and in regulatory terms, it doesn't just mean let's have 1,000 flowers blooming. It means that the laws relating to control of an industry are different for the media than for other industries. The problem with the competition legislation in Europe is that all they look at are the economic questions of the control of an industry, not at what they're producing. So what happened over Murdoch and BSkyB? That went to the European Commission, which gave it the green light, because all they look at is the economic setup of the companies. They don't look at what they're producing, which is what matters with media. And that's the difference. Because when the European Commission gave the green light to Murdoch's takeover of BSkyB, the British government then said, look, the Europeans have approved it, so it must be all right. That's why it matters to change European law, so that British national governments can't hide behind the economic, solely economic, outlook of European regulation and actually apply qualitative judgments about media to the European level.
Thank you. Well, you've heard, Tana, the enthusiasm, the eagerness with which British campaigners want to get to work on this initiative. Do you think that journalists in Italy will be able to mobilise the sort of campaigning that we've heard here about online activists?
Well, I very much hope so. And we were encouraged by the fact that we were guests of the we call it Federation, the National Federation of the Press in Italy, which is our National Union of Journalists. The Federation has branches in every region in Italy, and it has been supported on this by our biggest union federation, whose members are 5 million, and who committed themselves to collecting signatures on behalf of this. This is because this is not seen as just a journalist's issue. This is seen as a citizen's issue. We're not just talking about rules to enable us to live and work in user-friendly environments. We're talking about citizens' rights. And it's felt very deeply by huge numbers of Italian citizens that their right to be correctly informed, their right to expect the media to hold politicians to book rather than to simply allow them to sound off, as they've been doing this election, unchecked, to challenge official versions of events, to investigate. All this has been jeopardized by the abysmal quality of the media, which has resulted from a monopoly situation and from political interference. So these are citizens' issues, not just journalists' issues. And that's why I'm very encouraged, and I think that we'll find support.
Well, thank you very much indeed for explaining what is obviously such a significant European citizens' initiative. Thank you, Tana Zulueta. Also, thank you to Granville Williams and to Tim Gopsil, both of the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom. This podcast was produced by Claire Colley for the Campaign for Press and Broadcasting Freedom.